from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But 120 on Tuesdays all year means Brandon Adams, but it's especially fun and special this week as it is week one of the college football season. Brandon Adams, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, brought to you by the Tour Championship. Get your tickets today at tourchampionship.com. We'll be out there on Thursday and Friday broadcasting as well. B.A., happy week one of college football season. How are you?
What up, B.?
Boy, I'm ready for it. I'm so excited. I just love the conversation that's in the air and obviously the energy around all this. It's just a great time of year.
What would you say is the main conversation this week leading into week one against Clemson? Because obviously you're in it as deep as anybody is, and there's a million different tangents and tons of different topics. What's the main focus of conversation leading into this game?
I think, you know, for me and probably some of the people that I've been kind of talking to, I think it kind of comes down to, is Clemson still Clemson enough to kind of make this a competitive football game? You know, Georgia's about a 2-touchdown favorite, but Georgia against ranked non-conference opponents for the most part over the course of the last, well, like 2 or 3 years, I mean, they're walloping these teams. You know, Michigan in the Orange Bowl, Oregon to start the 2022 season, Florida State in last year's Orange Bowl. The Ohio State game was close, but for the most part, when Georgia's playing kind of a ranked non-conference opponent, these games aren't close at all. You know, is Clemson still good enough to prevent that from happening, or has this program regressed to the point where, you know, this isn't really a competitive game either?
B.A., me and Andrew were talking earlier, and I think one of the bigger things is the personnel part is the Etienne situation. And I don't know why I think B.A., because I slept too much last night, but I thought, I was like, I don't know. I have a feeling that Kirby might not play. Would you be more surprised if he played or if he didn't play?
Okay, originally I would have said I expected him to play, but it's not hard right now to find somebody who sort of knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who, you know, will say that they've heard on good authority that ETN's not playing. There's enough of that kind of unofficial chatter right now that it leads me to believe that he's probably not going to play. I don't mind telling you this. I think he probably should. You know, if he had a DUI, then that's probably enough to keep him out of the game. But he didn't. Legally, right, that charge was reduced. He was never – what was never in dispute was he was not over the legal limit, which is like .08 or whatever else. Mm-hmm. He was just, you know, under 21, yeah, so therefore he got, you know, the DUI charge, you know, kind of around that. So I think that Georgia would be well within its rights to play ETN and perhaps linebacker Smile Mondon too. But the sense that I get is, at least in the case of ETN, he's probably not going to play. Mondon might not either, and, you know, who knows exactly why. Georgia's obviously not going to reveal very much about this, but I would say somewhat surprisingly, it seems to me pretty unlikely that ETN will play.
Interesting. Yeah, it kind of feels like that's the direction that the momentum is headed in. If he doesn't, I mean, does that say to you, Kirby sort of responding to a bigger picture program-wide statement or specific to this or what? Like, what would that say to you if ETN actually was suspended for this opener?
Well, I think it would suggest that somebody somewhere, whether it's Kirby Smart or someone above Kirby Smart or someone around the university somewhere, is a little bit maybe sensitive or at least aware of some of the perception stuff around the program. And as I said before, if they do sit ETN, I believe they're making the wrong choice. And obviously, as I suggested a moment ago, you know, I think there's a chance that Georgia wins comfortably no matter who plays. So this is not about winning or losing versus Clemson. I think it's about the fact that, you know, I just don't know that what ETN, you know, is accused of doing is necessarily enough to keep him out of a football game. But obviously the perception of this is something that maybe Georgia's a little bit aware of, and you know, maybe they're managing this situation related to that.
B.A., I know me and Andy, we were talking, and he made a great point of, like, usually coming out of camp, you always hear about
I stole this from B.A., by the way, just so you know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You don't have, like, that buzz about this receiver group. And I was thinking about this morning, and thinking about Dylan Bell, and you still got Arian and guys like that, guys who played a lot of football, but just that one guy standing out. And I thought about it. I was like, you know who – didn't we just got the kid from Vanderbilt – you know, to play whatever role he wants to play. I remember the big plays he made against Georgia last year in that game. Yeah. Is there a certain sense of, like, there's not that guy because of the fact of what you have lost as far as Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey?
Yeah, I mean, as Andy said, we have talked about this a little bit, and I don't quite know what this means necessarily. And I am fully open to the idea that it's a misread on my part. But, I mean, I can promise you, you don't have to go very far to find people who've seen scrimmages or been to practice or know people who have, and they're raving about running backs, you know, raving about tight end. Obviously, a lot of praise to the offensive line. And it is as quiet as a mouse about the wide receivers. Now, that may be a case where, hey, no news is still good news, and some of the stuff we heard during the spring carries over to the fall, and Lovett and Bell and all these guys are getting ready to have a good year. But, man, hard not to notice that the rumor mill right now is pretty quiet for Georgia around wide receiver at a time in which, as you said, Georgia needs guys to step up because there is no Brock Bowers. There were moments last year, especially in the first third of the season, where Bowers almost ended up being the sum total of the offense. You certainly don't beat Auburn on the road without him last year. And so now he's not here. And so what does Georgia do offensively without Brock Bowers? That's a really interesting question going into Saturday. And are these wide receivers ready to be the kind of pass-catching targets that can help sort of fill that statistical void? I mean, honestly, we're watching that closely.
I thought you summed it up pretty well, too, when you were having this conversation of, like, maybe it's nothing. Like, maybe silence means nothing. But in preseasons past, when something really good has been happening in camp, the good seems to leak. Like, oh, there's the hype around this player, or this guy looks like this, or like you're talking about right now with the running backs. If there's a bad thing, it tends to not. It tends to kind of just be quiet. Like, there hasn't been a lot of reports of, like, oh, this guy looks terrible in camp. Like, this guy doesn't look ready. And then maybe somebody did have a camp like that. We just didn't hear about it. So, yeah, I think you're on solid ground as far as putting the dots together on that one. I mean, I think we all hope that that's not the case and the wide receivers come out and play really well. But I think it's reasonable, given the history of the way things sort of come out of Georgia's camp, to think that that might be what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, bad news never leaks around most college programs. It certainly doesn't leak around Georgia. So-and-so had a great camp. That has a tendency to sort of slip out because, in a roundabout way, Georgia's sort of okay with good news coming out. But nobody burns their sources by saying, boy, did you hear about so-and-so? He's having a terrible camp. Obviously, if people are capable of good camps, they're capable of not quite so good camps. But we don't hear bad news. It just doesn't leak quite as frequently. And so, therefore, sometimes that leaves us having to judge the silence.
B.A., what do you think that the crowd's going to look like as far as the ratio of red and black to orange and purple?
Well, it's close enough that I'm obviously guessing that a lot of Clemson fans are coming. I mean, you know, they're only about an hour and a half at most from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So I'm sure they'll be there in large numbers. I guess there will be, you know, more Georgia fans than, you know, Clemson fans, just simply because that's what we've come to expect from Georgia. But I believe that Clemson will have large numbers. But it's one of those things where I wonder, and obviously this is coming from a red and black point of view, I wonder how ready Clemson might be to sort of turn on their team here a little bit or get up and leave or, you know, I mean, whether it be Dabo Swinney not taking calls on the radio show anymore or whatever else. There's a lot of weirdness around Clemson. And I get the impression that the kind of hope springs eternal feeling first game of the season, man, you could pop that like a balloon with a kind of a slow start to this game or something like that. And a large number of Clemson fans might either get up and walk out or start booing or something like that. I don't get the impression they're a very optimistic bunch at the moment.
Yeah, you might not be able to let Tyler from Spartanburg call in anymore, but you can't make him stop booing if you're getting the brains beat out of you in the week one of the season. Brandon Adams joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Georgia football. Let's go back and think about what opening games have sort of told us about seasons, and then think about what this game might. Obviously, the 21 game against Clemson clearly the defense was like, yeah, this is us. Like, yes. We scored the touchdown to win the game. This is what it's going to be. They won the national championship on their backs. 22, Stetson Bennett threw a million touchdowns. They beat the hell out of Oregon. That offense was crazy that year. They won the national championship. What sort of statement do you think this team can and intends?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
To make on Saturday.
Well, for me, now the Georgia themselves are not saying this. This is coming from me alone. I've said I'd like to see them score 14 first quarter points. You know, Georgia only scored 7 points in the first quarter last year against UT Martin. Didn't score any points in the first quarter against Ball State. Only scored 3 points in the first half of the third game against South Carolina. This is a team that got off to very slow starts offensively a year ago. You mentioned the Oregon game. 7 straight touchdowns to begin the game to start the 2022 season. I don't know that this Georgia team is going to do quite what that Georgia team did against this Clemson team, but if you can find 14 first quarter points in a game in which your team total is right now about 30.5, that to me would send a pretty strong message that Georgia is going to be potent offensively and also capable of getting off to better starts with a veteran starting quarterback than it did a season ago.
B.A., we appreciate it.
B.
Great stuff as always. I know we'll all be watching on Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. It's great to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast, joins us every Tuesday. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. Again,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.